It's Tuesday, which means it's time for another episode of The Scruffy Stuff. I am your host, Ryan Willis, downtown reporter at Knox News, and I just wrapped up with the 2023 Endeavor Summit presented by the Knoxville Chamber, who asked me to come and visit and lead some loud table discussions with young professionals about what Knox News can offer in terms of just helping people get more involved in their community as young professionals, and also specifically about some of the things that I cover, whether that's the food and drink and nightlife scene, trying to let people know some of the latest things happening around town, or just general business growth and development, sort of where Knoxville is going. And to make it more fun, decided to bring the podcast equipment along and give these young professionals a chance to ask their questions, appear here on the show, and for you, the listeners, to be able to hear some of the things that we talked about. Now, some people wanted to share their name, some people did not, but everybody had great questions to add to the discussion, and we're going to dive into those here in just a moment. But before we get started, I should remind everyone that The Scruffy Stuff is brought to you by Knox News. So head on over to knoxnews.com/subscribe to see our latest offers and sign up to support local journalism today. A subscription will get you access to all of my downtown coverage, all of our Knoxville coverage, and anything and everything you'd want to know about East Tennessee, from politics and government to business and development to higher education and the University of Tennessee Vols. So without further ado, I'm going to take you to the Endeavor Summit 2023, again, presented by the Knoxville Chamber, who I would like to thank for letting me come and participate in this. It was an awesome time, and here are some of the things that we talked about.
Well, I know a lot of people in Knoxville, have come back after living here in the past and have spent some time in other cities in a way. Consistently struck by, how much and how frequently they say, oh my goodness, the city's changed so much. New restaurants downtown, new bars, new things to do. I'd be curious from your perspective, looking in 2023, for the people that move away and then come back 5 years from now in 2028, what do you think some of the things that they're going to be most surprised, most excited about, and sort of see has changed the most about downtown Knoxville?
Yeah, I think probably the thing that's going to change downtown the most is going to be the baseball stadium that's planned in the old city. That stadium is more than just a stadium. There's two buildings that are going to be attached to it, condos, apartments. There's going to be a lot of retail around it. And just having something that big dropped into your downtown, I feel like it's going to have an impact on traffic. It's going to have an impact just on how busy it is around town. It's going to have an impact on an area that I feel like a lot of people probably feel like is, if you're downtown, like, I feel like downtown's a relatively safe place, but if there's an area that you feel maybe a little skeptical about, it's probably the old city. I've heard that from a lot of folks. And so, you could sit and debate the stadium and whether it's worth, spending public money on. But I think something that huge in a downtown is really going to change. It's going to be old city. It's already a district. It's going to be the stadium district, and all those warehouses, east of downtown in the Magnolia Warehouse District are probably going to find new uses as well, whether it's more residents, more apartments, more condos, probably in the shorter term, more like retail and restaurants and stuff around there. So I think people come back, like, old city, the place maybe you didn't go before, is probably going to be the place everybody's going, I would think.
So kind of opposite of that question, looking forward 5 years, I'm curious, being only here for 2 years, looking backwards 5 years, what, since you know Knoxville, it seems like, what would you say was the biggest driver in downtown in helping, launch this change that Knoxville has seen?
Yeah, I think one thing that I noticed, well, I didn't notice it when I came here because I just thought it was normal, was when you went downtown, you saw a lot of just storefronts that were something before that the business didn't succeed for whatever reason, and somebody just came in quickly and filled the space. And so, and even 5 years ago when I moved here, I always heard people say it's all beer and burgers downtown. There's no anything else to eat, nothing, nothing international, nothing too fancy. Never mind, nothing too fancy actually is the name of a store in downtown Knoxville. But I think, in the past 4 years, it really, it was still a little bit slow when I first moved here, but in the past 4 years, you've seen a lot of people that are willing to take that next step. Some of them are out of town developers that have come in. Some, are people, and you'll notice that a lot downtown. There's a small handful of people that do a lot of things. But, you start seeing people willing to take that next step in development that's going to say, this space has been a restaurant for 10 years downtown. I want to open a restaurant too, but I'm going to gut the place. I'm going to invest money into this building and make it more than just, filling cookie cutter spaces. And so I think the big thing that I've noticed is just old buildings being renovated, finding new uses for old things. And that's one thing that I think has been really cool about Knoxville is you go down Gay Street, it's still pretty historical. It still looks like
an old downtown in some ways, but people have invested a lot of money on the insides of those buildings and brought them up to code and up to standards to where, you know, there's this new level of development that's happening around downtown. That thing's driven a lot of business and a lot more residences too. Like, there's a lot of people living downtown now. And I think you'll hear a lot of people say, like, there has to be people living in an area before you can develop, or, you know, you're not going to build a brewery and then everybody's going to want to come live there. You have to have people around you immediately to support a brewery. And I think the residential development has done a lot of that as well.
I've got a question about beer.
Okay.
So Chattahooligan is an awesome Chattanooga beer.
Yeah.
It's a Kolsch style ale.
Okay.
Give me a better beer in Knoxville.
Well, I haven't had that one. So I can give you my favorite beers in Knoxville, and I would assume that they're better. I don't know. What you say is a Kolsch?
Kolsch.
I do love Alliance's Kolsch, so I'm going to throw that out there into the mix.
Where's Alliance?
Alliance Brewing is on Sevier Avenue. Do you know where Sevier Avenue is yet? No, it's fine.
No.
That's fine. So it's like if you go across the Gay Street Bridge from downtown, like across the river, make your first left. There used to be a big JFG sign up there that got taken down recently. Wrote about that. It's that road right there. So there's a few breweries down there. Highwire Brewing out of Asheville has got a Knoxville location. There's Print Shop Brewing, and then Alliance is down there at the end of Sevier Avenue. But I will give a shout out to Alliance and their Kolsch. I will also say I can't remember if it was the Great American Beer Awards, one of the big ones recently. Schultzbrau just took home third best brewery in the country, I'm pretty sure. So anything from Schultzbrau is going to be really good. But my favorite beer I'm going to say is, so before I moved to Knoxville, I worked in Morganton, North Carolina. There's a brewery there called Catawba, where every summer they do a PB&J like series of different flavored jelly releases. And it was my favorite beer for a long time. I thought nothing would ever top it. And then Zool here in Knoxville made a PB&J beer that tastes like a peanut butter and jelly sandwich. So I don't know if that makes it a good beer. I think it's tasty. It tastes like, a PB&J beer from Zool. Like, get it while you can, because those are hard to come by. Like, places are running out of them on tap. So there you go.
Good
question. That was a fun one.
So where's the best place to get a not beer drink? Because there's tons of breweries, and the breweries are all super cool. But if you want like a cocktail and you don't drink beer, where do you think is a great place to go?
That's a good question. So I thought the question was going to go, where do you go if I don't drink at all? Which I was going to say, that was one of the things that came up in a recent conversation, was like, that is one thing about downtown Knoxville. I feel like it is very like alcohol and food focused and not very retail focused. There's not much to do for not young professionals like us, but like younger than professional, like kids or people who don't drink. So, but for a cocktail, I did already mention this in a previous question, but I'll mention them again. Brother Wolf over in Old City. And I just mentioned them. One, I like everything there. I'm not going to say it's like my personal favorite for a cocktail, but they did just get recently selected by Esquire for a feature. It's one of like the biggest up-and-coming cocktail bars. So I'll say Brother Wolf is really good. And Brother Werewolf right now. Good point. They're Halloween theming. And then I'm trying to think where else I go for cocktails, because I am more of a beer drinker. Well, I will say, in addition to Brother Werewolf, the people that opened that are opening a new cocktail bar at the former, or a new restaurant and cocktail bar at the former Sapphire. I don't know if you remember where Sapphire used to be. There's a hotel going there now, so they're doing a new concept there. So anything from them is good. Sapphire was great.
What is the most slept on restaurant downtown?
Ooh.
So Market Square area, Old City.
Okay.
In that area.
I'm going to say, it's not a slept on business. I think their food program is slept on perhaps a little bit, is Boyd's Jig and Reel on the corner in Old City. I love their billboards, by the way. I don't know if you ever noticed. They have like largest scotch selection in the world, but then like parentheses really small says one of the largest scotch selections in the world. But they're more known for that and for their live music. But their food there, what I'm about to say might like disgust some of y'all, but they have an excellent haggis, which sounds so weird to say out loud, but excellent neeps and taters and all the Scottish food that you could want. It's really good, and like a good little springs like side little salad. I mean, not that I really get excited about salad that often, but it's good there. So I would say that. Let me think of another one though. Oh, I will say Not Watson's for brunch is pretty underrated, because you hardly ever have to wait on a weekend. And it's a pretty good brunch menu. Like, if you're willing to sit outside, like you can like go to like every place on Market Square, it'll be like an hour wait, and you can like get Not Watson's. They'll say like 30 minutes and you'll get in like 15, it seems like. So that's not necessarily on the food side, just pro tip. Quick brunch, need something good, Not Watson's.
Following up on an old podcast that you did about the riverfront downtown, just wondering what are the new developments that are maybe helping that become more of a spot, more of a go-to place for downtown Knoxville?
Yeah, so two sides to the story, because there are two sides of the river. the South Knoxville side, everybody heard about the pedestrian bridge, or has anybody heard about the pedestrian bridge that they're planning? So they're essentially planning, and there was a riverfront plan that was adopted back in like 2005 to like help the neighborhood sort of grow and find some new, just bring more activity down to the riverfront. And back then they talked about a pedestrian bridge that would go from the University of Tennessee campus to the South Knoxville waterfront. And it got kicked around, and then it lost momentum, and now it's back, officially back on the table. The state has given like $20 million to it. They're looking to get like $25 million from the federal government. And so that side of the river, I think there's a lot of people that are already anticipating that's coming. You'll notice like on Blunt Avenue, like as soon as you get across the Henley Street Bridge and take a right, it's like a little road that runs along the river. There's already like multiple apartment projects planned there. So whether or not a pedestrian bridge happens, I think a lot of people are banking on that it will. But either way, growth is already happening sort of on the south side of the river. And you know, we were talking about Alliance Brewing earlier. Alliance was kind of one of the first people on Sevier Avenue to make things happen. And then other businesses started following. And now Sevier Avenue is kind of blown up into, it's not right on the river, but close enough. You can park on the river and walk up the hill and you're on Sevier Avenue. On the north side of the river, there's a lot more barriers just because you have Nealon Drive and the river are so close. And there's just a little bit of land in between it. One of the big places for opportunity is if you head, let's say you're looking at Calhoun's from the river. You're standing out in the middle of the water on a boat and looking at Calhoun's to the right. So there's a greenway that goes up that way. And there's a plot of land right underneath the James White Parkway where I think people like launch like not kayaks, but like the rowing team rowers launch out of there. There's a big plot of land right there that they're planning to do. Not just residences, it's Dominion Group. I think they're planning apartments there, but they're also trying to make that a little bit of a mini riverfront district. It's just one group that's doing it, so it's not like they're going to, you know, there's not multiple investors involved. But I think they talked about a dockside restaurant maybe, some sort of commercial spaces, maybe another restaurant as well, some sort of bar brewery, in addition to building apartments, which over the other side of the river, Sutry Landing Park area, there's apartments that have gone up. Same group that did those. So they're kind of looking at both sides of the river. And Dominion's had a lot to do in South Knoxville, too. The apartments I live in are Dominion. The apartments that popped up next to Honeybee Coffee on Sevier Avenue are Dominion. And so they're doing a lot of work to, I think they see the potential of South Knoxville, but now they move to the other side of the river, too.
My name's Ami. I'm with One Knoxville Sporting Club. So we're a new professional soccer club that's come into Knoxville in the past 12 months. This was our first professional year, 2023. Didn't make the playoffs, so that's a little unfortunate and wasn't the target. We obviously wanted to make it, so hopefully we can do that next year. But we're growing, we're learning along the way. And, you know, a question I had for you is, you know, we're brand new. I'm not sure if many people here have even heard of us. We're trying to expose ourselves to Knoxville. You know, we have a demographic, but obviously it's not as wide of an audience as we'd like. Our average attendance wasn't really where we wanted it to be. So we feel as though moving forward next year, you know, there's a lot more outreach we can do to get into people's heads and make people more aware of not just who we are, but what we're trying to do. Because yes, we're a soccer team and we're trying to provide a professional sports that isn't UT to Knoxville, but we're also trying to, you know, develop the community and help provide access, especially for those younger, to be involved in soccer and kind of have a pathway from when they can first walk to when they're good enough to play in the first team. So
yeah,
that's kind of what we're trying to do.
Yeah. So I've had Brian on the podcast before, and I was on the One Knox podcast as well. And, you know, we talked a little bit about this. First of all, I think like One Knox does an awesome job social media wise. Like, I think y'all, I mean, the way you go kind of behind the scenes, meet the players.
You've probably seen me on there a few
times.
Yeah.
So, and I talked to Casey.
Okay. Yeah. Earlier. Ticketing. Yeah.
But anyways, you know, the presence is there. Obviously, I think when y'all move to the baseball stadium, probably will do a lot of good 100%. As well. Even like Nealon Stadium, like a big football game, America football, I think there's a small percentage of people that go to those games that know every player, know every stat, know how the game works. Like a lot of people, I feel like, go to those games. Even myself, like I'd know a lot about football and I'd go there just to have a fun time, hang out, drink some beer, hang out with friends. And so, you know, I always think like anytime you have anything that's a niche interest, a niche in the sense of like somebody who's like a diehard soccer fan,
it's hard to find.
Yeah, well, I was gonna say, like, the more you can put the focus on the people, which I think y'all do a great job of anyways, I think that's a story everybody wants to read.
And I think it's a good point. I think it's more, you know, American sports in general. You know, for all the events I've been to since I've been in America, you know, the event is what sells the tickets. It's not so much the talent and the actual sport on the field. It's more so, you know, the drinks that are being sold, you know, in the concessions and the, whether it's live music outside the stadium, you know, the event itself
right.
is what's drawing people. So that's something we're going to try to do, you know, theme nights,
yeah.
you know, those sort of things is what's drawing a particular audience. So maybe that's a way in which will help us, you know, grow and expose ourselves a little more.
Yeah. And I always encourage people to like, you know, people think of Knox News, not formally known as, we still are Knoxville News Sentinel, but like Knox News, we obviously have a big digital focus. A lot of people don't think to come to us all the time with news or don't think to come to us. They have something like a little something that they think might be worth something. Maybe it's not a full story. With us being like such digital focused now, like obviously we're talking on a podcast right now. I have a newsletter that comes out every Friday. There's other people in our newsroom that have newsletters. We have a, you know, a text chat group that you can talk directly to like our sports reporters. And so there's a lot of other ways besides just saying, hey, here's like a big thing
100%.
That we think should be a story. You know, so I think there's other ways to get at it too. And then, yeah, I mean, you mentioned like sort of, you know, it is a lot more about the event. With the baseball stadium that's being built, I took a trip selfishly because I wanted to go back to Chapel Hill, but Durham, which is like 10 minutes away, has a downtown baseball stadium there.
Yeah.
And I kind of went there to sort of see what they are doing, what lessons maybe Knoxville could learn from a stadium like that. And they were like, yeah, well, we ripped out seats, more fan areas. Like we put TVs all over the place. People will come to a game to sit and watch another game on TV just yeah. to have the backdrop of it. So all that to say, I mean, like to get the exposure out there, I mean, I think, you know, at least from a media side, like, we want to serve our readers and understand not everybody knows all the stats about the game. Like, how can our readers, what are some of the cool things that are going yeah. on at the stadium? What are, you know, some cool personal stories about somebody that's, you know, on the team maybe that has an interesting, 100%. You know, background as well?
I'd love to connect in the, yeah, as you said, we've got a lot of players from a lot of different countries and a lot of different places. So,
yeah,
there's a lot of cool stories out there. So, yeah, we'd love to get together and maybe tell a few stories with you.
Yeah, that'd be awesome. Where'd you move from, by the way? You said you're new.
Yeah, I'm from Liverpool, England originally. Yeah.
Gotcha.
Went to college in Georgia, and then as I graduated, transitioned over here to Knoxville. So
cool. Awesome. Well, welcome.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Hi, I'm Jason Wazalewski. I'm currently a graduate student at the University of Tennessee, Knoxville. And my question to you is, what are maybe common ways that you see, like, maybe the campus community getting involved, like, within the community of Knoxville? Because, yes, on campus we have a lot of great student organizations, events for students to enjoy, but what are maybe some common ways you see students enter in, like, the Knoxville scene?
Yeah, it's interesting. I had a whole podcast episode dedicated once to whether or not Knoxville is a college town, which might seem obvious to somebody that goes here. They're like, yes, it's a college town, but my argument was that it's not a college town, that it is a town with a college in it, in the sense that downtown and the university, even though they're like very close, there's something about that Henley Street that goes through that makes it feel like super disconnected. And I've always felt like in a weird way that, and when I have people visit here, they would totally disagree, but I feel like there's not that much orange downtown. I mean, even if you're walking downtown, like you don't feel necessarily that campus energy downtown unless it's a game day. I do think like all the stuff that's happening on Cumberland is going to probably... It's going to be great because University of Tennessee is struggling with student housing, but it is already losing that character, which, you know, people will complain about. It's not what it used to be. I understand that. But I think the fact that it's going to be so residential that there's probably going to be a lot more students just naturally probably making their way into downtown with the pedestrian bridge, like talks about that going across the river. I think that's automatically going to expand campus further than where it used to be. So I think part of it will just be like, you know, it'll start with where do people want to hang out? And then it'll go from there. I think it's really cool, like what they did recently, and I'd like to see them do more of this. And by them, I mean, I guess the city and the university partnering together. That Market Square Madness thing they had the other day, I don't know if you saw that. Mm-hmm. But that was awesome. I mean, bring the campus over. But, I mean, part of it, I guess, is just going to be too. Like, you're a grad student, you're at a young professional summit like this. Like, I think that's part of it too, is just getting out there and getting to know the community better, which is hard to tell an undergrad to do when, you know, everything's on campus and, you know, you're looking for that college experience as well. But yeah, I just think, you know, as Cumberland changes, where people want to hang out will probably change. Where people start hanging out, they'll probably get some more connections that way. And it's probably just, I don't know, there needs to be something, I feel like, that connects the university and downtown a little bit more, just like geographically or physically, that I think would help out a lot.
So I've lived in Knoxville like my entire life, and I think seeing the way like downtown has grown and changed has been like really, really cool. So like, what do you think the most like exciting upcoming thing, like, other than like the baseball stadium?
Yeah, it's gonna be my answer. Yeah. So there you go. I think it's just like I can't remember if y'all were the group that asked what are the boundaries of downtown. I don't think that was y'all. I just think like sort of what the definition of downtown is changing. I mean, that's gonna be interesting to see. There's a lot of growth happening to the north. Happy Holler has been like a neighborhood that's, you know, always been popular for people that live nearby, but now it's kind of becoming a place where people want to go to. They have, you know, they have one of the only queer clubs, gay clubs in town, a Club XYZ, Central Flats and Taps. But now they've added, you know, you got a brewery over there now, you got a wine bar over there. You have a pirate bar that's called E-Vape Tavern, but this is a pirate bar if you go inside. The whole bar is made out of a pirate ship. And yeah, there's more stuff popping up. I think there's plans for a liquor store over there, some more residential units. And so I just think kind of seeing sort of the corridors of extending out of downtown Knoxville, which is something the city's focusing on, seeing those get more developed will be interesting. Also, there's a few spots downtown that are like not developed yet that I'm excited about, like Prior Brown Garage, which is apparently the oldest garage in the country. It's just like falling in, like something big is going to happen there, I'm sure. And so there's probably going to be a couple more statement pieces downtown that come in the next few years as well.
So that does it for this week's episode of The Scruffy Stuff. As always, I appreciate everyone tuning in. And as always, The Scruffy Stuff has been presented by KnoxNews.com. So again, if you are not a subscriber, head on over to KnoxNews.com/subscribe to see our latest offers. We've got some great deals going on, and it'll get you unlimited access to everything you need to know about your community, from business and development to politics and government to fun things to do, which of course was a topic of discussion a lot on this week's episode. And speaking of this week's episode, one, I hope you liked it. And if you did, please leave a review. Tell us what you liked about the show, what you'd like to hear us talk about next. And also, before you sign off, check out that podcast description. There's a link to both the Urban Knoxville Facebook group and the Urban Knoxville newsletter, which I write every Friday, along with higher education reporter Keenan Thomas. And both of those things are just even more ways that you can get plugged into the community through Knox News. Now, the Facebook group is a private group, so just make sure you answer a few quick questions. We'll get you in there to join in on the downtown discussion. Also, if you'd like to keep up with me in between episodes, you can give me a follow on Instagram at KnoxScruff. You can also reach out to me via email at ryan.wilusz@knoxnews.com. And if you enjoy The Scruffy Stuff, you won't want to miss an episode, so make sure you hit that like or subscribe button on whatever platform you prefer listening on, so that way you get a notification every time a new episode drops, or just come back on Tuesdays. I'll be here, and I hope to see you here as well. Until next time, stay scruffy, Knoxville. Talk to you soon.